old trout.
Big
just
old
as
trout.
Cool as the evening shade.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have the honor of Phil Thompson, who's author, charter boat captain, lives a life in the Florida Keys, and he's, I would say, as far as I know, no one knows more about Cuba than he does. Now, it's a little bit controversial, or it has been. Yes, people have been able to go to Cuba under special circumstance since the embargo, but Phil is going to give us a little bit more information about Cuba. And with the change in the U.S.-Cuban relations, we're looking forward to having more opportunity. But first of all, I would like to mention 97 miles south. Is that right, Phil?
97 miles south, U.S. to Cuba.
And
yes, John.
The book. I'll tell you what. I'm interested in Cuba, but that book was so well written, and I know that it was written as fiction, but I also know there's a little bit of truth involved in that, and I'm not going to say which parts were in there, because we don't want to tell anybody that you may have actually been to Cuba while the embargo is in process, but some very fascinating stuff, and we want to learn certainly about the fishing, but also about the people. And about all the other reasons, the culture and all the other reasons that this opportunity may be affording us. But 97 miles south, if it is fiction, but if you want to get an understanding and a feeling about the culture, the people, I would highly recommend. And how is that possible? I know I've got you gave me a printed edition, but how else can you get it?
Oh, we just finished a really successful promotion on Amazon Kindle, where we downloaded over 1,000 books in 24 hours, the Kindle version. But you can get it through Amazon.com. You can get it through my website at CaptainPhilThompson.com.
PhilThompson.com, okay.
But let me tie that into something you just mentioned, because over the past several months, I composed several, I think 10 Cuban travel tips, which are on my website. And I had to actually do two on one subject, because the subject was about how friendly the people are and how they adopt you. And it's the most unbelievable welcoming process that American will find anywhere in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize it, but over the years, Fidel never preached against the American people. He preached against the American government and the Miami exiles.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, and it's Jimmy Buffett coined the phrase years ago when he said, everybody has a cousin in Miami. It's virtually true.
Uh-huh.
Wherever you go, they say, oh, I've got a cousin in Milwaukee and New Jersey, all over the place.
Yeah.
But there is no place in the world right now that is safer and more friendly to an American than Cuba. I know. Mm. I know it's hard for people to believe it, and I've had many a doubter email me and say, "You were right. I went there, and you were right." You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we're going to find more about today. You know, Captain Hookham, excuse me, is in the studio, and she's listening in. But just as an observer, I'm sure she's going to have some questions, and we maybe see if we can get Grizz on the line too, because this is a subject, and the book that you have, 97 Miles South, and then the other one about Fish Cuba Now, is so timely. And I have to say that we had you on, oh gosh, what, 2-3 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
And when we talked off air, you kind of gave me a scenario of what you saw was going to happen and when. And almost to the day, you were spot on.
Well, it was actually before December 17th, but I knew something was coming. But the president went beyond even what I was hoping for. And I congratulate him on the bold move, and I congratulate the new dialogue that's going on, because mm-hmm. it's going to do us all good. I'm a veteran of 20 years of Cuba travel, and I know the people well, and there's never been any doubt in my mind that by easing the embargo, we would help the individual Cuban person.
Well, without getting involved in politics, to me, it never made any sense. You know, when the Chinese began to embrace capitalism and go away from communism, look what happened to their country.
Well, we're on a brand new path now, and I encourage everybody to travel to Cuba. Cuba at this time is not ready for the online, total online reservation, credit card thing, you know, get your mileage.
Yeah. Well,
but
do they have
an adventurer?
Is there
who wants to who really wants to see a part of to go back in time virtually? It's perfect, and with the Casa Particulares, it's inexpensive. It, like I said, it's safe, and the food is delicious.
Yeah, Phil, that's what they say. They say that it's like a past from, or what. A blast from the past, that nothing has changed.
Like
everything.
Time capsule.
Yeah, it's like a time capsule. That's probably the most interesting thing for me to see.
And there's the beauty of it is that you see the glitz of it in Havana. You see this deco stuff in Havana, the stuff from the past, but it's still, you know. But then you got in the countryside, and being in the past there means that in the evening everybody's sitting out on the porch talking, kids are playing in the street, you know. A guy rides by on a bicycle with a pig tied on the back. I mean, it's just in quiet, you know, no lights. It's very quiet. And you don't see a lot of planes, you know.
Do you feel safe there?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cuba is by far the safest place, destination. What happens in the European cities even, and what happens all over the bombs, just can't happen at this time in Cuba. It's too tightly controlled. And Cuba has, you know, word gets around. Cuba has this rumor mill because they didn't have any communication for so long. So the word of mouth, they got like the coconut telegraph. And it works.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about your book?
Fish Cuba Now is the book I'm working on now.
Okay.
And it's going to highlight some of the... it's going to highlight some of the absolute best areas to fish and dive in Cuba. Most of these areas, 20% of the coastline has been preserved, and has been preserved very early after the revolution. So it's looking at 50 years of preservation. Certain of these areas, like Garden of the Queens, which lies 79 miles offshore on the southeastern side, nothing was allowed to be taken. I just spoke with Dr. David Vaughn from Moat Marine Institute, who just returned from there on a dive trip, and they're studying that reef down there because it has every major predator, it has the perfect coral, it's another throwback in time, and they want to know what keeps it so pristine. But there are so many places around Cuba like that where the only access you have to them is through Avalon Fishing, which luckily I've had a good relationship with for the last 3 years. And they're aiding me in this project mainly by providing some very low price trips between now and hurricane season that I can,
so
get people to come along.
Hurricane season would be typical for farther north, so it'd be August, September.
Yeah, the last trip I've got booked right now is a special one. It's to live aboard the Garden of the Queens, and we leave August the 8th, and that is the last trip of the season for that area. They bring the boats back in, because it's a live aboard with skiffs. They bring the boats back in, and they refurbish them, because it's 80 miles offshore. You don't want to be out there for a hurricane.
Oh, God, no.
No. Well,
that would be like the perfect storm, right?
Yeah. But,
I have to go back. You talk about you see a guy going down the street with a pig on the back of his bicycle. there's a chapter, a segment in your book, 97 Miles South, which is hysterical, having to do with a pig.
That's a case of fiction based on truth. That wasn't me. I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. But someone told me that story one time. You know, I, of course, added to it and embellished it somewhat. But the basis of the story was based on a trip, one of the earliest trips in like 1990 that a friend of mine made, when there was no food available. I mean, that's what you did, you know.
No, we won't. We'll have to read the book. But basically, it's somebody wants to roast a pig. So the story was they had to find it, and then they had to go get it and bring it back. And the pig was not very cooperative. But it was a tremendous story. Anyway, we're going to have to.
Well, pig hunting is harder when you're drunk, you know.
There you go. Well, we'll talk about that in the next segment. Anyway, we're going to have to take a quick break. break. So don't go away. You are listening to Phil Thompson on Fish Talk Radio. We'll be right back with you.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at VivaLaPaz.com. Viva La Paz!
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Santos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espirito Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
You get in line and I'll get a pole, honey. You get in line and I'll get a pole, babe.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. We have Phil Thompson on the line, who is an author, a charter captain, a charter guide, an expert angler, and he's also, he knows more about Cuba than anybody I know. And that's why, that's what we're talking about today, especially with the recent changes in the political atmosphere here. We're kind of trying to get an idea what to look forward to. Now, obviously, we want to talk about fishing. But we've been talking about the culture and the people, and let's continue that just for a couple minutes, if you don't mind, Phil, and then let's get serious.
And talk about fishing?
Talk about fishing, yeah. Okay. But
it's a fishing show, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you were talking about the people and, you know, how warm and receptive and how safe it is. Well, obviously, it would have to be safe because, when Carter was president, Fidel shipped all the crooks out of prison and sent them over?
Mm-hmm. It's called the Mariel boat lift.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway.
No, but as far as safety goes, you do. And one of the major changes, because like I said, I started going to Cuba back in the early 90s when it was really tough. With the opening up of the people being able to start their own businesses, especially with the Casa Particulares, which are the bed and breakfast, and the Paladars, which are the restaurants, the level of service has gone up tremendously in the past couple of years. The food especially is it's very reasonable, and it's fresh seafood's always available. There's always great tomatoes and salads and fruits and, Cubans don't eat a really spicy menu, but it's extremely good.
I thought they ate a lot of meat. No, they don't eat a lot of meat.
Actually, no, because they've had a shortage of it. Mm-hmm. When they do get it now, to be honest with you, now in the private restaurants, you can get a good steak and you can actually get a good hamburger, which was something a couple of years ago you couldn't have done.
But they do grow a lot of sugar, so they got a lot of good rum, right?
Oh my God!
Oh, I bet the drinks are good.
But
no, okay. So back, I discover a new brand that's even better.
So Phil, you said good seafood. What types of fishing and fish, seafood?
Oh, everything: snapper, lobster, shrimp, what they call pulpo, which is octopus.
Pulpo, yeah.
Pulpo, yeah. I mean, it's just across the board, and they're very, it's very fresh. I mean, most of the Paladar people buy their, all of them buy their seafood from the guy that just pulled it out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't go through a middleman anymore. It's a direct deal, and it's just really done wonders for the
economy.
Right.
And it's extremely, by our standards, it's extremely inexpensive, you know?
Oh, but yes. Well, because the average wage down there is ridiculous. But anyway, we are going to get into fishing, I promise. But we have joining us Jeremiah Higgins, who's a local world-renowned restaurateur, and he may have a couple of questions about the culinary side. Now, you said most of the restaurants are kind of like small people, a lot of times in South America and Mexico, where they just kind of open up their homes, turn it into a restaurant in the evening. So maybe Jeremiah might have a couple of questions for you about the food in the restaurants.
All right, you're on the spot, Jeremiah.
I am on the spot. Hi, Captain, how are you?
I'm just fine.
Great. How are the restaurants? Are they growing there? Is the business able to, you know, to thrive, and are restaurants able to open now? I just read an article regarding restaurants and them, the government opening up the ability to open more restaurants and bars.
To give you a range, in 1991, when you went to a private restaurant, a Paladar, you went up a dark set of stairs and knocked on a door, and they opened up, and it was someone's private home with a dining room table. And sometimes the people would, you know, there'd be people sleeping, kids and everything else around, but they would prepare this great meal for you, all right, dirt cheap. And but really, the best food they had. That was now. You can go to still a private restaurant, a Paladar, privately owned, that's on the water next to Rena Hemingway, and get that $7 sirloin steak, listen to a band, and right. But still, it's in the private sector. So that shows the range that it's taken the last last decade, actually.
Right. And would you take your fresh catch or what you'd caught that day to a restaurant?
I ran into some, last time I was down, I ran into some people from New York, some young people from New York that had been out fishing. They had a couple of mahi-mahi, and we took them over to the same restaurant, and they just, you know, they put it on an open wood fire, and I don't know, geez.
What an experience.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, speaking of fish,
now that I'm hungry,
fire up the grill.
Now let's get back to that a little bit. Now, if you could kind of, first of all, let's start with, I mean, Cuba is an island, so I assume that, you know, and it's a pretty big island, a very big island,
and largest of the Antilles, yes.
It's got a lot of water around it. Is there different areas, and what are the different species that you're going to find offshore?
Well, we'll start, in fact, this summer I'll start with the Hemingway Marlin Tournament, where you've got right off the capital city, you've got good marlin fishing. We won it 2 years ago, where we released three blues in 3.5 days of fishing, which isn't bad anywhere. And the areas, as you move to the east, the snapper fishing, deep water snapper fishing gets phenomenal, as well as the wahoo and the yellowfin tuna. Anytime you get on the reef in those areas and you can get down a little bit deep, I've seen the guys bringing in, I watched them bring in queen snapper and, you know, deep water fish that they call it with hand line, and they couldn't have been fishing more than, you know, 200, 250 feet of water. Now, as you move inland, you've got some of the most pristine flats in the world. You've got bonefish, permit, tarpon, jacks, barracuda, sharks. And in Cuba, a lot of places, you still have a lot of mutton snapper come up on the flats after the ray, you know, following the rays, something we see occasionally in Key West, but not to the degree you do there. And then as you move inland, you've got snook and tarpon, juvenile tarpon, And as you get in the fresh water, you've got some of the best bass fishing that's in this hemisphere that is virtually untapped.
Well, that was one of the things that I was going to go into next is the freshwater side, because sport fishing in most of these areas is not something people do. They, you know, they go fishing to put food on the table. Mm-hmm. But to continue, we have Jeremiah that's mentioned down there, and he wanted to brag about his visit at giant
Barramundi, right? Is that
Jerabundi?
No, that's Australian.
Oh, I thought it maybe it was a barracuda. We had a lot of red stripes.
Okay.
I guess he was drinking some rum.
Yeah. Okay.
Jeremiah, that's a very good eating fish, but you've got to be very careful with it.
The barracuda.
Why?
It
must
have been a barracuda.
Razor sharp teeth.
Oh.
And actually, they're difficult to catch because if you get the hook too far back in their mouth, they just the line's gone. So you got to hook them right in the jaw with the hook. Otherwise, you know, they're a lot of fun to catch, but either use a lure or wire leader. But speaking about that, techniques, what we're, you know, we talk a lot about fishing in southern Baja and in that area. And I'm assuming that although some of the names might be different, you know, mahi-mahi in Baja, it's a Dorado. In Hawaii, it's a mahi-mahi. I guess you call it a dolphin fish on the East Coast.
But, yeah, we call it both, yeah. You've got to quit calling it dolphin because you eat flipper.
Yeah, exactly.
The
exactly.
Other thing, Wahoo run down the coast.
Yeah.
Wolf packing wahoo come rolling through there. Mm-hmm. These stories, like I said, these stories are all on my website. Most of these are have already been written, printed in a magazine here or there in the archives. They're in the archives, mm-hmm. my website. Okay. But it documents probably, you know, 15, 20 years of fishing in Cuba.
Right. Now, the techniques, I assume, would be the same. So you're probably, for the billfish and the Dorado, and is there any tuna down there?
Yeah, there's not a lot on the right off of Havana, but when you go to east towards Holguin, mm-hmm. it's very, very good yellowfin tuna fishing. And then as you go around that point through the Windward Passage, it's awesome tuna fishing.
Mm-hmm. So normally you'd be in a cruiser trolling?
Yeah. I haven't fished that area, but I have spoken to a guy who's been around that thing. He had a little striker that he went around. He's actually been around the island twice, and He said that the tuna fishing on the very east coast was just unbelievable.
And that would be yellowfin, bluefin, or both?
Yellowfin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That would be ahi, and what we call at mm-hmm. the restaurants in California, right, Jeremiah?
That's right.
That's right. Anyway.
I caught an ahi once,
but,
too. I know.
The other thing is I think we'll save the freshwater fishing till we get back, because we've only got about 2 minutes. And we'd like to hear more about that and the possibility of things opening up where people could actually do that. It's like we'll find out. Now, there's been more people from other parts of the world besides U.S. that have spent more time there than we have. But it has been, as we talked about, almost a time capsule. And I can't ask you the question if you've ever sat down in Papa's chair and had a mojito.
Well, part yes and part no. I have had plenty of mojitos. and more than one has been raised. More than once the glass has been raised in the air, you know, in salute to Papa.
Mm-hmm.
I did have the honor of drinking with Gregorio Fuentes, his mate and pattern for Santiago and uh-huh. the old man in the sea.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, he was 102 years old, actually.
Wow,
that's neat.
Yeah. Boy, that rum preserves you, doesn't it?
The guy, yeah, and he died at 104.
Wow.
But, I did have that. That's as close as I've gotten to sitting in Papa's chair.
Yeah,
that's a good story.
The other thing, too, is that I want to give some credit. There's a fellow down there. I wrote a story about him. It was printed a couple of months ago. It's on my website as well. His name is Commodore Screech, Jose Screech.
Well, we should. If it's more than 10 seconds, we'll get that in the next segment. I don't want to cut you short. But we're gonna take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and continue on. We're talking to Phil Thompson. You want to get his book that's out now, 97 Miles South. And then he's got a new one coming out. I can't wait for his Fish Cuba Now. So you're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we're going to be right back.
Hand me another hook.
Going fishing.
Yeah, I know I done lost another one.
Going fishing. Get the youngs, let's go.
The road stretches for miles in front of you. And with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio, and enjoy the great outdoors.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at VivaLaPaz.com. Viva La Paz!
It's a beautiful day, oh, what do you say? Let's go fishing. What a wonderful way to spend the day just a fishing. Oh, the water on the lake is smooth as glass. Oh, we might catch a sunny, we might catch a bass. Oh, what do you say? Let's go.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. Are we having fun or what? Captain Hookem, what do you think?
I feel like I'm in Cuba.
Yeah, I know.
We're just missing the
Jeremiah?
Should have brought the rum back.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. Well, we talked a little bit about that, and then we've talked about Ernest Hemingway and some of his exploits down there, which was part of the mystique of Cuba. And actually, it wasn't too long after he was there that things kind of shut down. That would have been, was it 60, 62 or something when Castro took over?
He left in 61.
61, so it's...
No, he started the Hemingway tournament in 60 and left, I think, in 61.
Okay. So 62 to, you can't do the arithmetic, but it's more than 50 years, like 53 years. Mm-hmm. And it's, like I said, it's been a bit of a time capsule, but some things don't change. And, the fishing that he did is probably still, they might use different kind of line and different rods and reels, but it's all still the same. Is that sound about right?
Yeah, what I've read about how he summed up the seasons, different marlin seasons, was like fishing anywhere else. Some years it was really good and some years it was really bad. He spent a lot of time over in the Bahamas because the Bahamas really had the big marlin. Mm-hmm. Cuba was never really known for a lot of big marlin. And the marlin that come there, the big ones usually come late, October, November, to spawn, But he fished, he obviously loved the waters fishing off Cuba, and he loved Cuba.
And he liked the rum.
Well,
yeah, we don't want to. I mean, he's a great guy. We don't want to tell stories, but he got pretty well involved in that. So anyway,
so 5 o'clock in Cuba.
Yeah, well, isn't that? I don't know if he invented mojitos or not, but you know.
Well, you meet me down there. You guys come on down there, and I'll take you to a place that has, they make their mojitos out of Santiago de Cuba rum, which is my new favorite.
Uh-huh.
And
I guess you'll have to carry me out.
Well, you know
the reason why he liked the mojito. This is I don't know whether this is scientifically provable or not, but supposedly the mint that they use in the mojito, which is delicious, dilates your capillaries and gets the rum in your system.
Interesting.
I didn't know that.
Huh. Well, speaking of fishing.
Yeah, fishing. Are we fishing?
Can we talk a little bit about inland and freshwater fishing in Cuba, or does it exist, and do you know anything about it?
Yeah, there was a big push a couple of decades ago, actually. Some people from Texas organized a little company, and they were bringing fishermen over, and they had some phenomenal catches. You'll see some of the pictures. If you Google bass fishing Cuba, you'll see some of these mutant-looking bass. These are bass that were brought over in the early 40s from Lake Okeechobee and the King Ranch in Texas.
Oh, the Florida strain, yeah.
Yeah, and put in these reservoirs, these freshwater reservoirs, which the dams were built by the Americans as well. And they grow to mutant proportions because it never cools.
They're always feeding.
And they are, mm-hmm. I mean, 10-pound, 12-pound bass are not unusual at all. Wow. And the last guy I fished with, his biggest one was 19 pounds.
Wow. Wait a minute. I'm looking right now.
Captain Hookham's on the computer.
Is that one?
No.
They look funny.
Well, actually, it looks like
they look like mutants. Yeah, they're color. So fat.
Yeah, that's right.
They are pretty big, but they have big mouths. Like,
oh, that's a big mouth, yeah.
Oh, stop it.
No, it is. It's a big mouth bass. Anyway, but
how long does it take to get that big, to get that large?
Oh, I have no idea.
Well, they can grow very fast. If there's food around, they can grow very fast. But what about the indigenous? Do they enjoy the sport? Or I would assume that when they go fishing, they're trying to put food on the table.
Yeah, and this is a concern that's always been the case. It's very hard to tell people, hey, when they're hungry, hey, don't harvest. But this is another benefit. As tourism improves and Cuba dedicates more resources to these preservation areas, then it's only going to get better. Luckily, whatever you feel about Fidel, one thing he was an environmentalist. Mm-hmm. And he also, like the Garden of Queens, he preserved areas that he liked to go to and didn't particularly want anybody else to go to. But yeah. He also replanted forests that had, you know, mm-hmm. and he environmentally, except for a few things, he's got a good record there.
Mm-hmm.
But Cuba's going to be the ecotourist center of the Caribbean. There's no doubt about that. It's got too much UN help right now. There's too many UNESCO World Heritage Sites, and we're all too aware of what can happen if you just let rampant development take over.
Mm-hmm.
You're in California. I'm in Florida. We know what can happen to a coastline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to interrupt, but I know that there's a lot of people that are anxious for the door to open so they can.
The door is open.
Yeah, and they're. And, as far as people buying property?
Oh, no, no.
No.
Yeah.
Going to visit.
The door is open as far as going to Cuba.
Right.
Okay. Well, there's 12 categories. They're listed on the OFAC website, and two of them, which are my favorites, are religion and support for the Cuban people.
What about the press?
Okay. So support for the Cuban people is basically anything. In fact, these trips that I'm doing, we're going to be teaching kids how to fly fish. We're going to be teaching these guides. We're going to be showing them the latest things that we have that we can bring over, the latest techniques and so forth. We're going to be sharing information with them, as well as putting a book together that highlights these fantastic areas that are only 90 miles away.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you that if there's anybody out there listening, and there should be about 500,000 of you, you're gonna be getting some phone calls, because it's something that you know, we've been thinking and talking about, anticipating, and you know, as you said, the door is open. But before you do anything, probably the best thing to do would be to consult with you, because there's still a lot of restrictions. And
that's
the door's
what I was just gonna
open.
Say. It can't so, be that easy. Well, it can't just automatically be that easy.
There's been ways to do it before, but it's been very, very restrictive. And
right.
The embargo never said you couldn't go there. It just said you're not allowed to spend one penny. And that's kind of hard to go to someplace.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I talked to people on both sides. In fact, I talked to my friend in Cuba this morning, who lives right next door to Maria Hemingway. And there's boats going back and forth. I don't recommend taking a boat. I just went through this. We're trying to get some boats legal for the tournament. But that's still a real sticking point. But as far as flying to Cuba, like I said, pick a category and go. What President Obama has done, and I've seen this happen in the past, but never to this degree, he's basically said, we don't care about it, okay? We're not going to devote resources to chasing people to find out if they have a third cousin in Cuba, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I talk to people at the functions I go to. I talk to people every day who just came back, and there's no big deal. Anyway, but it's not from a tourist standpoint. Even so, it's not the place that you want you go, where you just put your credit card down and use your frequent flyer miles. That's not going to be the case for a while. In 45 days, when the state-sponsored terrorist thing comes off, it's going to be easier. But for the people that want to experience some phenomenal experience, both culturally and fishing or diving, all you've got to do is contact me, and I will be glad to advise you. Because I am a promoter of free travel for Americans, but I'm also a promoter of go to Cuba now before it changes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's be over a period of time, and I know that a lot of Cuban Americans are trying to, you know, seeing what's happening, and they're trying to invest in there down there right now. But you know, the opportunities now. How would you rate the fishing opportunities with the rest of the Caribbean and the Florida Keys?
Well, it's kind of, you know, one thing that I really appreciate about being associated with Avalon is they have 12 locations around Cuba, all located in preserves. On the Tortuga trip, I mean, the Garden of Queens trip, it's only fly. No, absolutely no. I mean, I met with the president of the IGFA, Rob Kramer, 2 years ago down there, and he was headed to one of the Avalon sites to help instruct these guides on catch and release tactics. And he's a big fly fisherman too. So there's a really good core. No one else is allowed to operate in the areas where Avalon operates. And it's true on some of the very best fishing spots. Most of them are controlled, they're in preserves, and they only allow a very small number of people to mm-hmm. use that facility.
And that's,
that area.
And you're talking about offshore now also?
Yeah, they don't do that much offshore. Offshore is controlled by the government. That's owned by Marlin, mm-hmm. and they're located everywhere from Havana, Guadalajara, all the way around the island. You can go marlin fishing from any of their locations. I advise you, if you're going to Cuba to go marlin fishing, you bring your own lures, and if you've got a 4-piece 80 wide, bring that too.
Well, that's the other thing, is that I would imagine that they're hungry for equipment. So if you do go down there,
there's something you could bring.
Yeah, probably a good idea to bring some, and not necessarily plan on bringing it all back.
Well, yeah, leave it there.
We do that every time. I go to the flea market, for instance, and buy orange lobster gloves, you know, that we use from Keys
yeah.
to catch a lobster.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll buy, you know, 200 pair of them.
Whoa.
And give them away.
That's
cooks.
A great idea.
So how many lobster do you trade that for?
You know, it's funny because with Cuba, it's all about relationships.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you make a friend, for instance, I always bring candy. Hard candy to give to the kids, because there's always kids in the Casa Particulares, or even kids on the street.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any fear of, you know, if their parents are with them, of course you ask compromiso, but
right.
But they just, you know, and it's a way to to let them know that, hey, you're an American, you're their neighbor, you're right.
We're coming to the end of the segment, but I want to make sure that people understand that they need to get in touch with you. And you can do that, and of course you can just Google, but give us a simple way to find you.
The simplest way is philkeywest@yahoo.com.
Phil, like P-H-I-L, keywest@yahoo.com. And
right.
if you didn't remember that, go to the website, listen to it in the show again and again and again, and write that down.
And book your trip.
And book your trip. And make sure you visit us on Facebook. Phil, this has been fascinating. Thank you very much. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio.
Pleasure. Mm-hmm.